ॐ श्री परमात्मने नमः। गीता प्रबोधनी कॉन्साइज कमेंट्री ऑन श्रीमद् भगवद् गीता बाय स्वामी राम सुखदास महाराज जी। चैप्टर 2 फ्रॉम वर्स 54 to 72। चैप्टर 2 वर्स 54। अर्जुन उवाच स्थितः प्रज्ञस्य का भाष समाधिस्तस्य केशव स्थितदिः किं प्रभाषेत किमासीत व्रजेत किम्। अर्जुन सेड, ओ केशव, दैट इज लॉर्ड कृष्णा, व्हाट आर द मार्क्स ऑफ अ मैन ऑफ स्टडी विजडम एस्टेब्लिश्ड इन गॉड? हाउ डज सच अ मैन ऑफ फर्म विजडम स्पीक, सिट एंड वॉक, और इन अदर वर्ड्स how does he behave? Chapter 2 verse 55. Shri Bhagavan uvacha prajahati yada kaman sarvan partha manogatan atman evatmana tushtah stitah prajnasta dochate. The blessed Lord said, O Partha, that is Arjuna, when an aspirant abandons all desires arising in the mind and is fully satisfied in the self by his own self, then he is said to be the man of steady wisdom, that is, steady intellect. Comment: the steadiness of the intellect is considered superior than the steadiness of the mind, because with the steadiness of mind one attains some occult powers, but with the steadiness of intellect he can elevate himself spiritually. The steadiness of mind prevents the natural tendencies and habits of life, whereas with steadiness of intellect is firmly resolving on the ultimate goal of life. We can only give up that which essentially has already been relinquished from time immemorial. The desire does not reside in the self, but arises in the mind. But due to affinity and feeling of oneness with the mind, that is, assumed identification of mind with self, the desires appear to be in the self. When the spiritual seeker experiences the absence of all desires in the self, then his intellect automatically becomes stable. Chapter 2 verse 56. Dukkheshu vanudvigna manah sukheshu vigatasprahah vita raga bhayah krodah sthita dhir munir uchyate. He whose mind remains unperturbed in sorrow, who does not crave for pleasure, and who is free from attachment, fear, and anger, is called a sage of steady wisdom. Chapter 2 verse 57. Yah sarvatrana bhisnehah tat tat prapya shubha shubham nābhinandati nah dveshti tasya prajna pratishtita. He who is unattached from everywhere, that is, under all conditions, who is not delighted on receiving pleasant and not dejected by unpleasant, his wisdom is stable. Chapter 2 verse 58. Yada samharate chayam कूर्मोन गानीव सर्वशः इंद्रियानीन्द्रियार्थेभ्यः तस्य प्रज्ञा प्रतिष्ठिता. As a tortoise withdraws its limbs from all sides, that is, into its shell, in the same way, when he, that is the karma yogi, detaches completely his senses from the sense objects, his intellect is stable. Comment: self always and continuously stays the same, that is, as is, and the body constantly and perpetually changes. Therefore, there is no change in the nature or the essence of either of these. But when the self identifies with the body, that is, assumes relationship with the body as me and mine, then there is an effect of impressions of the body and the world on the intellect. When the identification with me and mine are gone, then the effect of body and the world on intellect is gone, and the intellect becomes steady. With the steadiness in intellect, then the self gets situated in its own natural state. Chapter 2, verse 59. Vishayavini vartante niraharasya dehinaha rasavarjam rasopyasya param drishtva nivartate. Sense objects drop out for him who fasts, that is, since he is not presently enjoying the sense objects with his senses, but the relish or longing for them may persist. This relish also disappears when he realizes the Supreme, that is, on realizing the Supreme, the man of stable wisdom no longer relishes the worldly objects. Comment: the subtle attachment to sense objects is called rasa, that is, relish. This rasa resides in aspirant at the ego level. So long as this rasa remains, until then the transcendental rasa, that is, love for God, does not manifest. It is due to this rasa buddhi, that is, desire for relish, the dependence and attraction for sense pleasures remain. Even after the aspirant gives up sense pleasures, the rasa buddhi still stays. Therefore, leaving the sense pleasures seem like a significant act, and the aspirant may even feel proud that he has given up sense pleasures. Even though this rasa can go away before God realization, but after God realization, it entirely goes away. Chapter 2, verse 60. Yatato yapi kaunteya purushasya vipaschitaha indriyani pramatini haranti prasabham manaha. O son of Kunti, that is, Arjuna, when the desire for relish remains, the turbulent senses, even of a wise man practicing self-control, forcibly carry away his mind. Comment: the wise aspirant should not trust his senses. The reason is that as long as there is rasa buddhi at ego level, that is, desire for relish at ego level, the possibility exists for the aspirant to have a fall. Chapter 2, verse 61. Tani sarvani samyamya yukta asita matparaha vashehi yasyendriyani tasya prajna pratishtita. The aspirant of karma yoga, having controlled all the senses, should sit for meditation, devoting heart and soul to me, because whose senses are under control, his wisdom is steady. Comment: therefore, for success in the spiritual path, it is a must to surrender to God. With the devotion to God, the senses come under control with much ease. The spiritual aspirant cannot bring the senses fully under control on his own. Once the senses are fully under control, then his wisdom is stable. Chapter 2, verse 62 and 63. Dihayato vishayan pumsaha sangaste shupajayate sangat sanjayate kamaha kamat krodho bijayate krodhat bhavati sammohaha sammohat smriti vibhramaha स्मृतिभ्रंसात् बुद्धिनाशः बुद्धिनाशात् प्रणश्यति. Thinking constantly of the sense objects, a man develops attachment for them. From the attachment springs desire, and desire, when unfulfilled, gives rise to anger. From anger arises delusion. From delusion, there is confusion of memory, which results in loss of reasoning and discrimination, that is, viveka buddhi. And with the loss of discrimination, he goes to complete ruin. Comment. Let alone the enjoyment of sense pleasures, simply by thinking passionately about them, the spiritual seeker marches towards ruin. The reason is that thinking about the pleasures is not in any way less than enjoying them. Chapter 2, verse 64 and 65. Raga dvesha viyuktaistu vishayan indriyaischaran atma vashair vidheyatma prasad madhigacchati prasade sarva dukkhanam hani rasyopajayate prasanna chetaso hyashu buddhi paryavatishtate. But a self controlled yogi, that is a karma yoga aspirant, freed from attraction and aversion, that is raga dvesha, with his senses under control, though moving about amongst the objects of senses, he attains tranquility and purity of mind. With the attainment of such tranquility, all his sorrows come to an end, and undoubtedly the intellect of such an aspirant very soon becomes firmly established in God. Comment. If there is no attraction and attachment to the objects of the senses, even enjoying the pleasures sanctioned by the scriptures, there is no fall for him, but instead he advances in the spiritual path. Chapter 2, verse 66. Nasti buddhir ayuktasya nacha yuktasya bhavana nacha bhavayata shantir ashantasya kuta sukham. He who has not controlled his mind and senses cannot have a determinate intellect, and without a determinate intellect, such an undisciplined man cannot have a selfless feeling, that is bhava, or the sense of duty. A man without the sentiments of selflessness cannot have peace. Then how can there be happiness in one who is lacking peace? Comment. For karma yoga, nishkama bhava, that is feeling of unselfish motive, is the prime requirement. To attain nishkama bhava, it is essential to control the mind and senses and have a determinate intellect. Chapter 2, verse 67. Indriyanam hi charitam yan manonu vidhiyate tadasya harati prajnam vayur navamivambasi. The reason is that as the senses moving about among their respective sense objects, the mind that yields to even one of the senses can take away the discrimination of man, just as the wind carries away a boat on the waters. Comment. As long as intellect of an aspirant is not determinate on a one-pointed goal, what then to speak of all the senses? Even one sense steals the mind away, and the mind then takes the intellect to indulge in sense pleasures. Chapter 2, verse 68. Tasmad yasya mahabaho nigrahitani sarvashah indriyan indriyarthebhyah tasya prajna pratishthita. Therefore, O mighty armed Arjuna, he whose senses are completely restrained from their objects, his wisdom is steady. Chapter 2, verse 69. Yani sha sarvabhutanam tasyam jagrati samyami yasyam jagrati bhutani sani sha pashyato muneh. That which is night to all beings, that is, who are turned away from God, in that state the disciplined yogi keeps awake, and that in which all beings are awake, that is, enjoying the worldly pleasures and prosperity, is the night to the enlightened seer. Comment. Now Lord is saying from the point of view of Sankhya Yoga, that is, discipline of knowledge, because in the final stage, Karma Yoga and Sankhya Yoga are the same. Refer Gita chapter 5, verse 4 and 5. About awareness of God, the worldly people are asleep, but the realized sages and the true spiritual seekers are very much awake. They are aware of God just like we are aware of the sunlight in the daytime. The worldly people may have animosity towards spiritual aspirants, but the realized sages and true spiritual aspirants do not harbor animosity towards anyone. Sri Goswami Tulsidas ji says in Ramacharitamanasa, those who look upon their Lord pervading this whole creation, then how can they harbor animosity against any being? Ramacharitamanasa, Uttar 112b. The worldly people have only seen the world, but the spiritual aspirant knows the world as well as God. The people who are of the world, after attaining worldly objects, think that they have made so much progress, but in the eyes of sages and true spiritual seekers, this achievement is like the darkness of the night, indeed very insignificant. Chapter 2, verse 70. Apuryamanam achala pratishtham samudramapah pravishanti yadvata tadvat kamayam pravishanti sarve sashantim apnotina kamakami. Just as water of all rivers enters the ocean, though it is completely full from all sides, it remains undisturbed and stable, that is, it stays in its boundaries. Likewise, in a self-controlled man, all enjoyments get merged in him, that is, without creating any fresh modifications in his mind. He attains perfect tranquility. But not he who hankers after such desires for worldly enjoyments. Comment. When the person turns totally unselfish, then all things of need come to him on their own, but these do not cause any anxiety in him, whether they are favorable or unfavorable. Due to prarabdha, that is destiny, favorable and unfavorable situations do come, but these situations do not cause any trace of likes, dislikes, pleasure or pain, etc. in his mind. He always stays in equanimity. But a person having desires, whether he attains the desired objects or not, is always devoid of peace. Chapter 2, verse 71. Vihaya kamanya sarvan pumams charati nihsprahah nirmamo nirahankarah sashanti madhigacchati. He who gives up all desires moves about free from longing, the sense of mindness and egoism, attains peace. Comment. When a person becomes free of desire, longing, sense of mine and me, he experiences sustaining state of peace in him. The root cause is the sense of ego or sense of I. After letting go of all other things, the ego still stays. Once the sense of ego, the I-ness, goes, then it is possible to let go of everything. From ego ensues fondness, from fondness the attachment, from attachment mamata, that is sense of mindness, from mamata the desires arise, from desire many other modifications come about. For a spiritual seeker, it is easier to leave mamata first. After leaving mamata, one can get the strength to renounce desire, longing and ahamta, that is ego. In fact, we are without the desire, longing, mamata and ahamta. If we were not without these attributes, we could never leave them, and the Lord would not have brought up the idea of giving them up. During the deep sleep, everyone experiences the absence of ahamta, but no one experiences the absence of self. The truth is that the desire, longing, mamata and ahamta are unreal and do not exist. Nasato vidyate bhavo, the unreal has no existence. Gita chapter 2 verse 16. Our true nature is real, luminous self. In this real self, the question of having the desire, longing, mamata and ahamta does not arise. The desires, etc., reside in the jada, that is, worldly matter. They cannot reach the chetana, that is, consciousness. The existence of consciousness stays the same. The desire, longing, etc., do not stay all the time. Rather, they are constantly changing. This is the experience of everyone. In this life, in childhood, the desire and the longings were different. Now they are different. We continue to pick these up and leave them as we move into different stages of life. We used to have the desire for toys, then started to have the desire for money. First there was mamata, that is affection, for the mother. Then this affection shifted to wife. Hence, the desire, longing, mamata, etc. are coming and going. Also, the meeting and parting, beginning and end happens. But the self does not come or go. The thing which is not truly real, we got hold of, gave importance to its existence. This is the biggest mistake we have made. The responsibility of correcting these mistakes lies with us only. That is why Lord Krishna is asking us to make the correction. Otherwise, the thing which does not truly exist, to leave that is natural. What is real, that is the thing to be attained. There is nothing new to be done. Going after something new is the reason for the bondage and suffering. Chapter 2 verse 72. Esha brahmi sthita partha nainam prapya vimuhyati sthitsvasyam antakalepi brahma nirvana mruchyati. O Partha, that is Arjuna, such is the state of a God-realized soul. Attaining to this state, no one gets deluded. Being established in this state, even at the hour of death, one attains God-realization. Comment. On leaving Ahamta, that's the ego, the man attains Brahmi Sthiti, that is, the state of realizing oneness with God. Then he does not have any independent identity. After attaining Brahmi Sthiti, it is attained once for all and it always stays. The reason is that this is our natural state, but we do not experience this due to the Ahamta, that is, ego. When the I am is gone, only easiness remains. That is the Brahmi Sthiti. Easiness is our true self. Therefore, we do not have to eliminate I am, but just do not accept it. The thing which does not really exist, while attempting to eliminate it, is to believe just the opposite, that is, to believe that it exists. This is a rule that a thing which we acquire and apart from is subject to creation and destruction. It cannot be for us or for our use. The body is something we obtain and then part with. But the self is not something we obtain or part with, neither it is born nor it dies. The spiritual seeker should firmly accept this truth, that I or the self exist in the past, present and future. I was never body, the body is neither mine nor it is for me. The word Nirvana has two meanings, lost and permanent peace. To find what was thought to be lost, Brahma, that is God, and to attain permanent peace is Nirvana, or to attain Nirvana state is to find Nirvana Brahman. One of the meanings of Nirvana is also Shunya, that is nothingness. Shunya does not mean non-existent. Shunya means which is not Sat, that is not existent, not Asat, meaning not non-existent, neither Sat or Asat, and also not different from Sat and Asat, meaning that it is an entity which cannot be described in words. Atasattvam sadasad bhayanu bhaya chatskoti vinirmuktam shunyameva. Quote from Sarva Darshana Sangraha. All actions have a relationship with the world. Our true nature, that is the self, is without any actions. Therefore, with our body, we cannot do anything for the self. Whatever actions we perform with our body, it will be for the world and not for the self. Question: then what can we do for ourselves? Swamiji's answer: by ourselves, we can be nishkama or selfless, nispraha or without any longing, nirmamo or without the sense of mindness, and nirahamkaraha, that is without ahamta or without the sense of I. Why that is so? Because we truly in ourself are nishkama, nispraha, nirmamo and nirahamkaraha. Om Tat Saditi Srimad Bhagavad Gita Supanishatsu Brahma Vidyayam Yoga Shastre Shri Krishna Arjuna Samvade Sankhya Yogo Nama Dvitiyo Dhyayaha. Thus, with the words Om Tat Sat, the names of the Lord as sung in the Upanishad of the Bhagavad Gita, by the Lord, the science of Brahma, the scripture of Yoga, the dialogue between Sri Krishna and Arjuna, the second chapter entitled Sankhya Yoga ends. Narayana, Narayana, Narayana.